You're listening to Greater LA, the show on KCRW that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Happy New Year. Turns out, it's not that different from the old year.
No more masks! No more masks! No more masks!
Those are the chants. No more masks. You hear it? Anti-mask activists inside Bloomingdale's at the Century City Mall over the weekend. With COVID-19 surging in L.A. County, again, it's a tale of two worlds. One where people refuse to wear masks or recognize the pandemic, who insist on partying or traveling or spend the holidays with friends and family. And the other, reality, where local hospitals are getting overwhelmed by patients, hammered by more than 7,500 people with the virus who need medical attention. One in five of them in the intensive care unit. That is way more than any other point during this pandemic. And medical workers aren't just struggling to keep up with the influx. They're now facing major staff and resource shortages, such as life-saving oxygen equipment. We start today at one hospital, Martin Luther King Jr. Community Hospital in South Los Angeles, situated on Wilmington Avenue between Compton and Watts. Dr. Elaine Batchelor is MLK's chief executive officer, and she's with us right now. Doctor, thank you for taking the time out today.
You're welcome, Steve.
MLK typically has about 150 beds, is that correct, available for patients?
131 beds.
131. How far past that capacity are you now?
Well, we are currently starting the day with a census over 200. So that means that we have over 200 inpatients in our 131-bed hospital. We're also boarding 40 patients in the emergency department. That means they have been admitted to the hospital, but there is no bed for them.
So 200 patients, 69 patients over your capacity, the availability of beds, and dozens in the ER now boarding in those areas. I mean, describe the scene at your hospital. I mean, are patients... What about being doubled up in rooms, or are there ambulances waiting to disembark those patients into your hospital? How are things looking over there?
So we have made a lot of adaptations in order to expand the number of patients we're able to care for. We normally have single patient rooms, and we have doubled up many of those rooms. We have also converted our post-surgical care unit to intensive care. We are boarding intensive care patients in the emergency department, where we've also doubled up rooms. We have five tents outside that we're using for triage and for COVID care and for care for our patients with psychiatric conditions. We've converted our emergency department waiting room completely to treatment space, and we've converted what used to be the fast track of the ED to all COVID space with negative airflow. So we've made a lot of adaptations to accommodate the increasing number of patients that are coming in.
Did you expect this? I mean, did you guys see this coming?
I think that we all feared that this might be coming, but we hoped that it would not happen. No one wants to be in a situation like this. But we were prepared. We knew it was a possibility. So we had started to garner resources, and we were prepared for it.
As bad as things are now, Doctor, I know health officials in LA are expecting things to get even worse in the coming days and weeks because, you know, we saw the surge upon a surge at Thanksgiving. More people were traveling for Christmas as well and New Year's and Hanukkah. You know, we had so many holidays that are just wrapping up now, and people are finally, I guess, back home. But still, you know, there are quite a few people not taking the precautions or the necessary quarantining that needs to happen in a situation like that. Are you prepared for even worse?
Well, we have to be prepared because it's a possibility. And unfortunately, the community that we serve is especially vulnerable through this period. A lot of essential workers live in our community. These are the people that continue to stock the grocery stores, drive the buses, clean up after the rest of us. They're continuing to work. So they are unable to shelter at home and continue to be exposed to COVID on the job. They also live in more crowded housing, so they have more difficulty isolating. And when one member of the family gets sick, it's often transmitted to other members of the family. We've also had an epidemic of poorly treated chronic illness in our community due to the lack of access to healthcare. And that makes them vulnerable to COVID and to serious complications from COVID. So this is all combining in a classic public health crisis for our community and communities like ours.
Talk a little bit about that. You said chronic illness that you often see in your community. How much of a role does that play in how sick someone can become?
So having an underlying chronic illness like diabetes or kidney disease or cardiovascular disease makes people vulnerable to the more severe complications of COVID. And our community, like many other underserved communities in this country, has an epidemic of poorly treated chronic illness. Diabetes is three times more common in our community than in the rest of California. Diabetes mortality is 70% higher here. Diabetic amputations and wound care are the most common surgical procedures we perform at this hospital. So we have a population that is really set up to have the worst outcomes during this pandemic.
We get hammered in the media and as journalists for telling the story. And sometimes, you know, people say, well, I mean, you know, maybe you're embellishing or it's, you know, what you're saying is hyperbole. What do you say to somebody out there who's listening to this program, who's listening to your voice about how bad it is?
I'm a little bit taken aback when I hear people who are denying the facts of the pandemic. Our healthcare workers are doing heroic work every day, serving the community, fighting the pandemic. And I'd like everyone to know that the suffering and the challenges are real. And we would really appreciate them following the public health recommendations that have been made, because anyone can come down with COVID. And right now, the hospitals are completely full. And this is not a time when you want to add to that.
What's your biggest worry going forward? I mean, with the possibility that it could get even worse.
Yes, I think all of the healthcare providers in Southern California are starting to worry about running short on resources, including staff, and being pushed into what we call crisis care, which is when we have to start making decisions about how to best serve the entire population rather than individual patients. No provider wants to be in a situation where they have to even think about that. But I think that's kind of a worst case scenario that we may need to anticipate. I'm really worried about our staff getting tired. They've been doing an absolutely amazing job, but this pandemic has been going on for months and they're stretched.
I know so many people are tired of hearing about the pandemic, and you know, it's the top news story right now, but this is the worst of it that we've seen in L.A. In the past 9-10 months, and with the possibility of it even getting worse. And I just want to thank you for taking time out and sharing what you're dealing with, doctor, but also what you're seeing on the ground there at MLK. Dr. Elaine Batchelor, CEO at Martin Luther King Jr. Community Hospital in South Los Angeles. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. And I hope everyone gets their COVID vaccine.
Well, it's not just MLK Hospital, of course. The pandemic surge on top of a surge is creating crisis conditions at hospitals all over Southern California. Any available space might be turned into a makeshift intensive care unit or ICU. Tents are being put up in parking lots to triage new patients. Ambulances are being diverted or made to wait for sometimes hours. Ronggong Lin is a staff writer for the LA Times, and he's been covering this story for the past several weeks, obviously the surge upon the surge, and he's with us right now. Hey, Rong.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. In a recent story, you helped report for the paper. I know you talked to a doctor at Alhambra Hospital who said, quote, this is a full-on Category 10. It's literally World War III.
Yeah, that was actually my colleague Matt Hamilton that spoke with that doctor. But it's a pretty severe crisis. I mean, we're seeing situations in which the hospitals are so crowded that patients are in the hallways. And I believe at that hospital, you know, one of the patients died in the hallway. And at County USC recently, there was a situation where they had to shut doors to all ambulances for 12 hours, and the wait times were as long as 18 hours to get into the ICU. We're in a situation where LA County officials have warned that they're running out of ambulances because ambulances are just waiting, lined up in a queue in front of the hospitals for as long as 8 hours trying to drop off patients there. And there's concern that heart attack patients and stroke patients aren't getting the prompt care that they would need. So it's a pretty bleak situation out there. We know that as of last night, LA County was averaging about 187 deaths a day. To put it in another perspective, that's one death every 8 minutes. It's an unprecedented situation.
It's heartbreaking, and the fact that the paramedics are unable to disembark their patients, right, from the ambulance. And so they're having to wait in the parking lot of a hospital, sometimes for hours. That means that ambulance is out of commission, right, and unable to go to pick up another person who may be in need.
Yes, that's right. And it's causing, you know, major problems. I mean, officials are trying to get out of it through a number of very unusual ways. One of them is creating up these temporary ambulance receiving areas. This is a situation where the hospitals are so crowded that every space in the emergency department is filled up, including the hallways. And in such a situation, what they're hoping to do is actually be able to drop off more patients and have them be watched over by one paramedic or EMT. And that's in an effort to try to hopefully get more ambulances out into the public again. It's not an ideal situation, but it's the best that they can do.
It's so much wrong. And I mean, tell us a little bit, because you reported on Alhambra, the hospital there. What kind of community does it serve? Is it obviously it's a smaller hospital, right?
It is. And that's one of the things. It's these older and smaller hospitals that are facing the brunt of the crisis. I know Alhambra pretty well. It's an area that is, you know, a heavily Asian and heavily Latino area. We know that places like the San Gabriel Valley and the East Side are being disproportionately hit hard by the pandemic. There are lots of people who are, you know, working class people who need to leave home to be able to work. But the problem is that because they're leaving home, they're at higher risk and they get the disease and then they bring the disease home and it spreads along in the home. If you look at how crowded the ICUs are in the San Gabriel Valley, there have been a number of cases in the last couple of days in which there have been zero available ICU beds across the San Gabriel Valley. The same was the situation across Southeast LA County. And it's a situation where there is just so much death that the morgues are filling up. Funeral homes in places like East LA are so full that they are unfortunately having to turn away family members who had just been there for another a funeral. Ugh. It's a heartbreaking situation, and even at Alhambra Hospital, there have been, you know, medical staff members that have died, and every week we're seeing more and more healthcare providers get sick and pass away from COVID.
You know, again, you can't look at the pictures wrong and hear the reporting, what you're telling us right now, and not just be gobsmacked by what's going on. And not understand what a crisis this really is. It's not just the old and infirmed and the underlying conditions getting sick. It's even young people, right? It's across, it runs the gamut.
Yes, and what's even more alarming is that the rates of death are increasing for all age groups. And another concerning issue is that, you know, early on in the pandemic, it was really only a small percentage of people who were dying without any underlying medical conditions at all. It was about 7%. That has increased to 14%. So now 14% of everyone who's died from COVID in LA County had no underlying medical conditions. So this is a situation where younger people are spreading the disease and younger people are increasingly dying of the disease. Unfortunately, it's also a situation where younger people are also spreading it to older people. and they're the ones hit hardest. So you'll have situations, you know, anecdotally, where it's younger adults who are meeting with their older family members and giving the virus to them.
You mentioned that morgues are filling up, that funeral homes are unable to do their jobs. Even the hospitals themselves are having trouble finding places for the recently deceased, right? To where to put even the bodies.
That's right. And so the county has actually had to call in the National Guard to come in and help them store bodies in the county medical examiner coroner's office because there's no place to store the bodies at the private mortuaries. There was that report about how Governor Gavin Newsom had to order 5,000 additional body bags, and most of them were reserved for LA because of the situation that we're in right now.
When we talk about, I mean, people getting sick with COVID, obviously, is the big concern. But, you know, as I mentioned, there are other ailments that people have as well. People have strokes and heart attacks and car crashes and things like that, where ambulances, where paramedics are needed. What kind of a strain does this put on those other things that people have to have dealt with as well?
It's a big strain. One of my colleagues, Marisa Gerber, she talked with a 44-year-old high school teacher in the South Bay. He was actually scheduled to have a kidney transplant at Cedars in mid-January, and it was called off. It was postponed because the hospital said, you know what, we're just out of ICU bed. And this is a serious situation for this particular teacher. His kidneys are only running at 3%, and he has to undergo dialysis at home for 9 hours a day. So this is not a situation where that's just affecting COVID patients. It's also affecting people who really need these urgent kinds of medical procedures and surgeries, you know, as soon as possible.
What else is the county trying to do wrong in trying to help hospitals out, to get them out of this, or at least to alleviate the pressure that they're under?
So they're trying some very unusual kinds of situations. So for example, you know, in the pre-COVID time, there was, you know, there were efforts to, you know, even if you showed up at an accident scene and someone had a lot of trauma and their heart had stopped and there was no pulse, they would still transport that person to the hospital. Now the county is saying we can't do that anymore. They have such a limited ability to survive, and the hospital's already so full of other patients that we're not going to transport that particular patient over. Another issue that's a big concern is the lack of oxygen. There's such a demand for oxygen that the pipes are freezing, and sometimes there's such a demand that the air pressure is running low. So the Army Corps of Engineers was called in to help a number of hospitals, you know, retrofit their systems to get those oxygen places, you know, running up and running. However, it's also caused, you know, the county to say, you know what, for patients, you know, in ambulances that are receiving oxygen, you really got to limit it. So don't give it to people unless you really need to give it to them.
Well, I know, Rung, when you look at the numbers, again, you're just gobsmacked. It took 9 months to get to 400,000 COVID positive cases in LA County. It took about a month for that to double. And, you know, I suspect from the holidays, Thanksgiving, and now Christmas, we're going to see even higher numbers. The only thing we can do is just hope and pray and obviously keep reporting what's going on, the reality of what's happening in our county, in our state. Rung Gong Lin, staff writer with the LA Times. Rung, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is Greater LA on KCRW. Happy New Year. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now, on to Orange County. Well, as ICU capacity remains at zero in the Southern California region, OC has not been spared. Strained hospitals are putting up field tents to deal with the surge in COVID patients. There are reports of ambulances waiting in hospital parking lots for an hour, maybe more, before people on board are allowed in. And yet many in the county are still arguing over whether you should have to wear a mask in public, including newly elected officials. LA Times columnist Gustavo Arellano is here for this week's KCRW Orange County Line. Hey, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
Happy New Year to you, by the way.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
All right. So Southern California, has been just dealing with the fallout from a surge in COVID cases. And by all measures, could be even worse maybe this time next week or in a couple of weeks. Are OC officials bracing themselves for this surge upon surge?
The hospitals definitely are. You're starting to see, like, I drive a lot around Orange County, obviously, and all the hospitals I go through, they're having tents there where I've never seen before. I don't know if it's going to be for triage or for something else, but they're trying to extend everything possible. On Twitter, a friend of mine who's from Fullerton, he showed how at St. Jude in Fullerton, that they're actually building a floor on the parking lot, a small one, mind you, but still to be able to put more equipment in there. So on the hospital level, yes, people know this is real. On the other hand, though, you have politicians who want us all to be gallivanting around Orange County to try to get herd immunity. And of course, you have law enforcement who are not enforcing these supposed mandates. So, for instance, on New Year's Eve, you had people in Newport Beach, inside bars, outside bars, packed bars, like nothing at all is existing with regards to coronavirus.
Have some officials, Gustavo, who were initially resistant to the restrictions and the mask wearing, have they changed their tune maybe after seeing the surge in the last couple of weeks?
I'm not seeing it. I mean, the cities who have taken it seriously, like say Santa Ana or even Anaheim to a lesser extent, they've been taking it serious from the start. I mean, in Santa Ana now, you have these signs. It almost looks like election season, but there's these signs all over the city telling people in English and Spanish, please wear a mask. Please maintain social distancing. Please take care of yourselves. City officials know that coronavirus is real because their city is being impacted far further. On the other hand, though, of course, you have a place like Huntington Beach where you have a newly elected council member in Tito Ortiz not wearing a mask inside City Hall during city council meetings, even though the policy for the workers of Huntington Beach inside the city offices is to wear a mask. Like, there's so much mixed messaging, at least in the totality of Orange County. It's not surprising then that some people really do think coronavirus shouldn't be paid any attention to.
I mean, Ortiz is against mask mandates, has made it very clear. He's infamously referred to the pandemic as the plandemic in reference to this theory that it's being used as an excuse for officials to control residents there. He went to a Christmas meal donation event, right, where he didn't have a mask on and people were chiding him.
Not only that, it was at a school, Oakview Elementary School, where one of the trustees, Gina Clayton Tarvin, went to him and said, look, it is school district policy to be wearing a mask. Please wear a mask. He refused to do that. So she basically barred him from the schools. And this is during a Christmas toy drive. This is during giving out food. Like, this is supposed to be the holiday spirit. How much does it, in Spanish, we say, ¿cuánto te cuesta? Which means like, how much of a burden is it on you to just wear a damn mask, but just, you know, Tito, in his mind, he thinks, or he has said, he has told to the Orange County Register that the only people he knows who has gotten coronavirus, they all wore it because the mask, you know, brought their foul air back into their system. And that's how they got sick.
What about the mayor in Huntington Beach, Kim Carr? What message has she been sending?
She's trying to be the peacemaker here. In other words, saying, yes, you should wear a mask, but I guess if you don't want to wear a mask, well, that's your constitutional right. And what this whole pandemic has shown is that you need leadership to tell people, no, you have to wear a mask. This is serious. And that's one thing I would say across California, but especially in Orange County, you don't see enough people just flat out calling folks, hey, if you don't wear a mask, you're dumb. If you don't wear a mask, you're selfish. And if you think coronavirus is not real, then you are guilty of spreading it and putting us into this morass that we're all in right now. But of course, no one wants to say that because the last thing they want is a bunch of protesters outside their house, which of course has happened in Orange County, or getting your address released publicly so that more people can go harass you.
You've derided Huntington Beach in the past, just slammed it in a column and on this program as well. Why do you think Huntington Beach is the way it is? I mean, so buck the system. I mean, is it unique in Orange County?
It's concentrated, because what's interesting about Huntington Beach, it's always been conservative, but it hasn't been this whack job conservative, except in the past maybe 7 years. And it's too complicated of a story to tell, and it's not the oil that's in the derricks seeping into the tap water. But you have folks who think they're libertarians but are actually super rock-ribbed Republicans, and more importantly, they do not like any hints of weakness. This is the bro capital of the United States, and the last thing bros want to be seen as is weak. And if you wear a mask, that means that, hey, something might infect you, which means that you're actually human, which means that you're not immortal.
Gustavo Arellano, columnist for the LA Times, of course, with us for KCRW's Orange County Line. Gustavo, thanks.
Gracias.
That's going to do it for us today. My gosh, what a time. Please stay safe. Don't risk it. Those hospitals and ambulances may not have room for you or your loved ones. Stay home if you can. If you do have to go out, wear a mask, please, and stay away from other people. That's the only way we're going to get through this. Catherine Barnes, Rebecca Mooney, Sonia Geis, Desmond Taylor, Phil Richards, Mario Saavedra, Amy Ta, Mike Stark, and Christian Bordahl all made the show happen today. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Happy New Year. Please be careful and have a great night.